Grace and peace unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, in a sense, begins the last days of the church year, anyway. And all of the readings from here on out will have special emphasis on that last day, and being ready for it, or prepared for Christ to come again. And as usual, Jesus tells us a parable. And as usual, the parable has to do with the kingdom of God and with its attendant judgment. The parable is about 10 virgins with lamps, waiting for the bridegroom to arrive so that they can meet him for the wedding feast. Now, it would be nice to have a little background, but I can't give you much background. We don't know a lot about wedding customs in those days, but that doesn't hinder us at all from understanding this parable. We just take it for granted that 10 virgins had to wait for the bridegroom, who could arrive at any time. He may arrive right away, or he may tarry, be delayed. In either case, the virgins must be ready when he comes, meaning they must have enough oil for their lamps to go and meet him, even if he comes in the dark of night. The wise virgins are the ones who are prepared with enough oil for their lamps to go out and meet him, even if he tarries, even if he comes in the dark of midnight. The foolish virgins only have enough oil for if he comes right away. The 10 virgins represent the whole Christian church in its virginity, that is, in its purity, having been washed in the Savior's blood, forgiven, and made God's holy people. The bridegroom is Jesus, the Son of Man. So, in Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus is spoken of as being the groom of his bride, the church, having purified her with the washing of water and the word. Baptism, of course. And in Matthew 9 and in Mark 2, when Jesus is asked why his disciples don't fast, he responds, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." And so, friends, here we are. The bridegroom has been taken away from us, and we fast. We wait for him, Jesus, to come again. We wait not in drunkenness and revelry and fornication, but by using the time wisely, for the days are evil. In the church, there is nothing but virgins, and like virgin olive oil, we are the pure extract from the one who prayed on the Mount of Olives on our behalf until he sweat blood, and until he was poured out on the cross as a drink offering. Such that Paul says, "Is not the bread we eat a participation in the body of Christ? Is not the cup we drink a participation in the blood of Christ? Poured out in agony to make us pure." And so the church contains nothing but virgins, people pure because of what Jesus, the bridegroom, did to prepare us to be presented before his Father without wrinkle or blemish or stain, pure. The whole Christian church on earth is full of pure people, but some are wise and some are fools. Some are prepared for the bridegroom to come and some are not. All are pure, but only those who have enough oil in their lamps to meet him when he comes to call will make it to the wedding banquet. What does this mean? Well, Jesus is obviously saying here that in some sense, there are those who have been baptized declared at one point forgiven, pure, and yet will not be in heaven. And so, of the 10 virgins who grabbed their lamps and set out to meet the bridegroom, 5 of them took no oil with them. They were foolish. The other 5 took flasks of oil. They were wise. They were wise because they anticipated the possibility that the bridegroom might be delayed in his coming and prepared for it. And he was delayed, and the virgins fell asleep. All 10 of them fell asleep until it was midnight, and they heard a cry. "Here, the bridegroom is coming." But the foolish were low of oil. They went to buy more, and while they were away, the bridegroom came. He took the wise who were there to the feast, and then shut the door. The foolish virgins went away to buy oil, but when they came back, they were too late. The door was shut. They knocked and said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "I do not know you." The only words the bridegroom speaks in this entire parable are the most frightening words, I would say, in the entire Bible. God saying, "I do not know you." Way back in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Imagine on that day, the day of judgment, opening your eyes and seeing Jesus and saying, "Lord, Lord," and him saying, "I do not know you." That will happen to some baptized members of the church. The wedding feast is the kingdom of God at the close of the age. And the door, I would suppose, is the pearly gates. This sermon is mainly about the lamb and the extra oil, because that's what made all the difference, right? Was the extra oil and the wise virgins having the good sense to get it ahead of time. What the foolish virgins thought was unnecessary, or what they were too foolish to think of in the first place, was extra oil. The wise and prudent virgins got it. Now, all the virgins have lamps, and the lamp is the Word of God. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, light to my path." And in order for the lamp of God's word to be lit, it needs oil. That is the sound doctrine, the straight teaching. A lamp without oil is like a Bible that isn't preached, heard, believed, obeyed. God's word is sound doctrine, sacraments, solid food, and it gives an oil reserve of spiritual endurance for when darkness comes. Jesus says about the last days, "Because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." The bridegroom, Jesus, delays. The church finds herself right there right now. The bridegroom is delayed. Lawlessness has increased. The love of many has grown cold. 500 years ago, during the Reformation, there was a revival of sound doctrine and a passion for God's word that prepared Martin Luther to say against the lukewarm church of his day, "Here I stand," and others took their stand also, and the gospel was rediscovered. It wasn't the end, and it brought the world out of the dark ages into the marvelous light of Christ. The church was ready 1,500 years ago. Is it ready now? Or are we again lukewarm and lost? When the bridegroom delays, you feel lost. And think about when a child is lost. What's his natural inclination? To move, to search, to wander around the mall in panic, looking for mom or dad. Fear and terror set in. But it's really irrational, as if mom and dad are going to give up looking and go home for the night. Of course not. They'll find you, they love you. But the fear and terror make the child impatient, and he wanders and searches in tears. So what's the sound advice of every parent, that every parent is supposed to give their child if they're lost? Stay put. Sit down and wait for us to find you. We will eventually, but if you keep moving around, you're liable to be lost a lot longer, or worse, you'll stumble into danger, a danger that you're not prepared to face, a danger apart from us to help you, a danger that could cost you your life, for there are evil men in the world. So it is that God's word teaches that we are to stick to the straight, sound, old and stuffy teachings of the true faith until Christ comes again to call us. Stay put. He is coming. It's not like he's forgotten about us. Just sit tight so that when he comes to where you are, you'll be there for him to carry you home. And another reason not to wander is because night is coming, and then it will be even harder to find your way. The bridegroom comes at night, midnight even, when both the wise and the foolish were sleeping. This is the world we are in today. Darkness. The light of God's teaching is not shining in every corner of society today like it was even 50 years ago. Once upon a time, our society and culture was at least to some extent in an outward way Christian and proud of it. Once upon a time, to be the mayor of a town, you pretty much had to be an elder in a church to be given any respect. Now, if you're an elder, you're suspect. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not popular anymore to be affiliated with Christ or his church. God's word is not lit from every home and hearth as it was 50 years ago, at least relative to today. When I grew up, the only time God was mentioned in the home was at mealtime prayer. Now I find more and more homes don't even pray together for mealtime. And here's what it all means. God's word is not lit because there's no oil in the world's lamp. Ran out because it got tired of waiting for Jesus' return. Christ will come in the night when your lamp needs to be burning brightest. Now, society has been systematically snuffing out its lamp for years now. In that case, a wise virgin would bring an extra flask of oil. Night is coming, and the world has no light, and you need to be able to see when the call to the bridegroom is sounded. Night is coming, or it's already here. God's clear word is out of season and out of fashion, and Christians cannot walk by the light of the lamp of others anymore, because society has rejected God's word as a superstitious relic of primitive days that we have now risen above. And here is where many older Christians find themselves today. And it's very sad to see, struggling with their faith because when they were younger, the path was still lit. God's word still had some authority in society. Now it has none. And if the only thing that kept their faith alive back then was the faith of family and of friends and of society, what happens when they put their lamps away so they can hide their deeds in the darkness? That's when you have to crank up the oil in your lamp to see even dimly. And this parable is clear. You can't borrow oil from the wise virgins. You need your own reserve for the darkness of night. You need more than to own a Bible and to have a church membership, even. The foolish virgins had that much. You need to know God's word. Have it in your heart. You need to know truth from error, right from wrong, heavenly treasure from worldly chaff, God's word from the doctrines of men. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher to those who would hear. But we can't depend on the world around us to teach us. It is lawless and has been subtly leading unsuspecting Christians away from Christ for years. Until now, people are so biblically and doctrinally illiterate that you ask them to explain their Christian faith and they speak unintelligible nonsense. My baby daughter coos more clearly than most people speak when asked to give an account of their faith. On the last day, God will ask all of us to give an account of the faith he gave to us. And goo goo gaga isn't going to cut it. God is going to ask people to give an account as to why they live their lives as though his scripture taught them nothing meaningful. And they don't get to say, well, God, your word wasn't really clear enough for me. There's 7 ways to Sunday how to interpret what you're saying. So I just followed my heart and knew you were there for me. Who would have the gall to accuse God of not being clear? That the lamp he gave to the world gave off no real light. God not only speaks clearly, he sees clear through every excuse and defense, and he knows the truth. And he will say, pardon me, you say my word is unclear? You know that to be a lie. It's a lie you tell yourself and others to cover up and to darken the truth. The truth is that you didn't bother to grapple with my word on any particular subject in order to find my will for your life. You didn't search the scriptures for answers when you were confused, nor were you willing to be taught. Instead, you thought you'd spend your time doing things that don't matter, that give no oil, and call your own vain and selfish pursuits faith. My word, God says, is the only lamp on the way, and so I have made sure, as the ages grow longer, that it is accessible in thousands of languages, various translations free on the internet. Are you confused about baptism? You can do a word search about it. Find all the references in my word in a second. But more important than that, I have given pastors to my church who are not infallible nor sinless, but who you can test by making them prove that what they teach is from the Bible. They ought to know it. They are professionals, and that's their job, to tell you what it says. You complain that studying my word is too hard and confusing, and yet somehow find time in your life to learn an array of useless hobbies, all the while complaining that you were too busy to figure out what my word says in preaching or in Bible study. And now, the final trumpet has sounded, and you come before me unprepared, having taught and believed the wrong things in your long misspent life, misrepresenting me to others. And what's worse, you have the nerve to blame the very lamp I gave you for your ignorance? I gave you the words of eternal life and you ignored them. And then to add insult to injury, you blame me for your unpreparedness. And now you say, Lord, Lord, when the door is shut. No, depart from me. I do not know you. Jesus says in Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So the first and really final question of all this is, the wise virgins who were saved, who were prepared with an extra flask of oil, where do we get such oil for our lamps? You get the oil from the pure preaching of the sound words of Christ, and through receiving his life-giving, life-sustaining body and blood until he comes again. These are what the church calls the means of grace. Jesus gives them to his church and promises his Holy Spirit will work in you through them to create faith and sustain the faith that lets you see in the darkness, to fill up your reserve. You have the Word, the Scriptures, which is a lamp. The lamp needs oil, needs to be taught and believed. It needs to be interpreted according to straight teaching. And you need to hear the full gospel of Jesus Christ over and over again, so your reserve is filled, and so you're prepared when the trumpet sounds. Christ died on the cross for your sins, paid your debt, took your punishment on himself. He sacrificed himself so that his sacrifice would be preached into the hearts through the ears of those who hear, and so that it may be given to the mouths of those who eat his body and drink his blood for forgiveness. Those who believe these things have a flask filled with pure oil that will not run out. Do you have a reserve flask of oil? Yes, you do. You who stick to the simple faith and teachings of the Apostolic Church, who treasure God's Word as the only lamp in a world of darkness, you need not worry, be anxious or afraid. These are not words of regret, but words of comfort that Jesus gives, and joy that can carry to the end. The wise virgins made it to the wedding feast. In this lawless world, you may feel sometimes like a child lost in the mall without his parents. Sit tight. Stand firm in the faith handed down to you from your forebears in the faith. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Christ says, many will come with new ideas to get you off your duff and searching for me in all the wrong places, making you frantic. They will come with flashy signs and wonders and promises I did not make. And as a result, you may not make it to the rendezvous point when I call. Do not listen to them. Avoid them. For they are calling you off the path, setting aside your lamp. Be prepared, sit tight, and have peace. Peace in the faith as it was taught to you. Do not be afraid. I will come and save you. Fellow believers in Christ, waiting for him is not long or boring. Waiting for the Lord is a virtue, and it's yours as his church fills your flask with oil again and again, as he delays to come. But he will come again. He is coming, and he does not leave us as orphans, but gives us his Spirit. May his name be praised from our hearts to our lips, and from our lips to the ears of those who have yet to hear. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We now continue with the installation of the church officers. I invite them forward. The rest of you may be seated.